behind you as well. The first Sunday of a new year, and we have a blank book before us. And in that book, we get to write the story of our lives with Jesus Christ, our lives as one another, our family's lives. And so we're here this morning, but today there's something else special, and some of us may or may not be aware. Over Advent, you have watched this nativity scene, as you do most every year, grow as the story unfolds before you. Today, we celebrate some new arrivals, the wise men. Because today is Epiphany Sunday, the day that we set aside to acknowledge the wise men and the day they discovered the Christ child and came and visited and laid their gifts down at His feet. It's a great way to start off the new year as we have laid our gifts of worship at the feet of that same baby. It's also the day on the calendar this year, the church calendar, we celebrate and mark the baptism of the Lord Sunday. The day we remember that Christ as a baby was baptized in the temple, dedicated and given over to Christ. We also remember that He was baptized in the River Jordan to begin His ministry. And so we mark that this morning because this is a day of celebration of a new chapter in life and a day of discovery as well. The new series that we're in is called Divine Direction, and we're going to be looking at this over the next few weeks because we want to help you unlock what 2018 holds for you. There are 358 remaining blank pages in your book of 2018. There's a lot of stories to be told. There's a lot of discoveries to be recorded. There's a lot of things to be celebrated. But if we're going to write that book and have a happy ending, we need to see exactly what it is that God has to say to us. We're using this book by Craig Rochelle as kind of our basis for this. If you want to read along with this, this is a great book for anyone who's interested in setting goals for the new year and in hearing about God's will for your life. It's called Divine Direction, 7 Decisions That Will Change Your Life. And you can pick that up at most any bookstore on Amazon.com. And I think even right now, the online version, the e-version of that is on sale for like $1.99. So, I mean, it's a great book, great read. But in this book, Craig Rochelle says this, "The decisions you make today determine the stories you tell tomorrow. The decisions you make today determine the stories you tell tomorrow." I didn't come to church this morning with the mindset that I was going to bring Sarah up and pray for her or anyone else in the church. But I felt God leading me to do that, and so when I did that, I made a decision. And that decision is going to enable me to tell the story of how God healed her, how God touched and healed Amanda, how God touched and healed Marshall, how we as a church gathered here and prayed for healing on the first Sunday of 2018. If I had not have made that decision to follow the Holy Spirit, we could not have written that book. And we would have written a book how in 2018, Scott never got a full night's sleep because his wife coughed every night, all night long. And Sarah would have to write, "There's so many things that Scott's done to make me mad this year, but I can't raise my voice and yell at him, and I feel cheated because of the sickness." The decisions you make today determine the stories you will tell tomorrow. What stories do you want to tell tomorrow? What legacy do you want to build today? It starts with the decisions that you make. And so this series is going to help us to make those good, solid decisions, those right decisions. We're going to seek divine direction. Another part of church life, every year as I look and I set my goals for the year, what are we going to do as a church? Where are we going? Where do we feel like God is leading? And I seek divine direction for our church. We should seek divine direction for our families as well, and we should seek divine direction for our personal life. What are we going to do? Where is God leading us this year? And there are thousands of books at the bookstore that can tell you how to set personal goals. There's only one book that has the best answers, and that's Holy Scripture. So we're going to dig into that today. When you're writing a book, the big question is this: how is it going to end? Very few good books were ever written where someone just started writing and they didn't have an end in sight. There's usually a theme. There's usually, and I'm going way back into seventh grade English right now, but there's usually, you got to have an idea that you're pushing towards. The big question for any book is, how's it going to end? So when you and I are writing the book of 2018, the bestseller of our life this year, we have some big questions. And the big questions that come up first is this: what is God's will for my life? If we're writing a book about our lives in 2018, we need to start with the question, what is God's will for our life? What does God want me to do? Don't we ask that? Do you ever wrestle with those questions? What is it that God wants me to do? What is His will for my life? If I want to be a person who pleases God, what am I supposed to do today? For some of our young folks, it might be in a few years or maybe even now, it might be that you're trying to determine what school you go to. Who are you going to marry? What is your career path? For some of us, it's, do I need to change jobs? Do I need to move to another town? Do I need to move to another place? What is it that God wants me to do? Well, here's the deal. If 2018 is going to be a bestseller, we need a new perspective. Because when we look at those two questions, what is God's will for my life and what does God want me to do? Please raise your hand if you know exactly what God's will is for your life. Anyone? Because I really want to talk to you and I want to figure out how you came to that conclusion. Because I don't know what God's will is for my life. As your pastor, I cannot tell you what God wants me to do 2 or 3 or 4 days from now. And so I can't expect you to know what God's will is for your life using those things, those two questions. How are we going to write this book? A new perspective would guide us like this. In 2018, that new perspective would first say we need to focus on the who before the do. Will you say that? Who before do? You sound like a Dr. Seuss book, don't you? We need to focus on who before do because God cares more about the who than He does the do. God cares about who you are going to become more than what you are going to do. God cares more about who you're going to be in your job than what job you've chosen to have. He cares more about who you're going to be in your marriage than who you've chosen to marry. God cares more about the who than He does the do. Let's jump into Scripture and see what we're talking about here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in my Bible, it has a header there. It's called A Life Pleasing to God. If we're going to write a book in 2018 with a happy ending, we need to start with a life pleasing God, right? Finally then, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you were doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Focus on this verse. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now let's pause for a second. We just went into a big holy word right there. Sanctification, church and ease. What does it mean? Sanctification means to be holy. God's will is for you to be holy. And then he goes on to talk about how we do that. That you abstain from sexual immorality. That each one of you know how to control his or her own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother or sister in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. This is God's will for our lives. This is God's will for your life. It's not so personal that God says, necessarily, I want you to be this. I want you to do this. I want you to live here. God wants you to be holy. His will is for you to be holy. The Greek word there, agios, means set apart. God wants you to be set apart. God cares more about who you are becoming than what you are doing. So if you're an accountant, you chose accounting, God didn't go, oh, that's out of my will. I can't bless you anymore. You chose to be an accountant because you have gifts and graces and a desire to do so. You're there in your accounting office. God wants you to be the best Christ-like accountant you can be. That is His will. God needs accountants. We need accountants. If you're an accountant and you'd like to work for me for free, I could use you, right? Tax season's just around the corner. Notice I said for free. I can't pay you. God's will is for you to be holy. And whatever you do and whatever you choose, God's will is for you to do it in a holy and righteous manner. So listen to how we've begun to unwrap this and we've taken off some of that edge. God, what is your will? What do you want me to do? I don't care so much what you do. It's about how you do it and who you are while you do it. That's what pleases God. That's what pleases God. Now, obviously, there are some restrictions to that, right? There are some restrictions to that. I don't believe that God's going to be absolutely okay if you go and be a stripper, okay? I don't know how you could be a stripper and be a good Christian stripper. I don't know how that works. My mind's racing. I don't know. I'm not really sure where this illustration even came from, I think. Thank you, Christ. But there's some limitations. But for most of us, we've chosen a job. We've chosen a place to live. We've chosen a college to go to. We've chosen a mate. We've chosen a church. And those decisions were big decisions for us, but God didn't care so much what we chose. It's what we do once we're there and who we are becoming in Christ. Because that's what's going to make a difference in someone else's life. When you read that scripture, it ends with this. So that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. When you become holy, you're an example. And that's God's will for your life. Second part of this new perspective is this. The first one's who before do. The second one is why. And that should be before what. Why before what? Why before what? God is more concerned with our motives than our actions, our desires, or our goals. God sees our hearts, and God cares more about our motives. In fact, if you read what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 16, verse 2, it says this, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. We could even take that translation and make it a little different. I can do no good apart from you. Amen? Because on our own, we are going to be selfish every time. And the things that you're doing in your life, you may look at it and say, oh, this is great. I'm doing good stuff. But God's looking in your heart and saying, why? Why are you doing that? Are you doing that so that you can get attention? Are you doing that so people will say how awesome you are? Or are you doing that so that people will see me through you? Are you doing that because someone has a true need and you want to show them love? God is concerned about our motives more than our desires, more than our actions, and more than our goals. So we have to ask these questions. Is it about them or is it about you? Do you come to the food pantry for the people you're going to serve or because you like the people that are serving? Do you come because you want to be known as part of the missions team? Or do you come because you truly want to be a missionary to those families? Is it for him or you? Motives matter big time to God. Motives matter to all of us. You think about a child or a grandchild that comes to your home and sits in your lap, and out of the blue, they begin to tell you how amazing and awesome you are. What is the first thing you think about? What do you want, right? If they come and they're just really laying on the love thick, your first thing is, all right, what's this about? What do you want? God asks the same question. The only difference is God can see right in and he knows exactly why you're doing it. And we need to watch ourselves and make sure that our motives are glorifying God. There's a friend of ours in Tennessee. Her name was Leanne. She was a single career woman. She ran a family-owned grocery store chain in the regional area there. She was successful. She was business-minded. She went on a mission trip to Central America and met and fell in love with a little girl there. And saw the plight and saw that she had the gifts to help change this girl's life. So she adopted that little girl. So we're in a small town in Northwest Tennessee. And when she decided to adopt this little girl, all the churches, her church and all the other churches, began to gush over her. Hey, come and speak to our women. Come and speak to our families about what you're doing. Let's have a shower to help you out. It was written up in the local newspaper. Everyone wanted to be a part of this story. And that baby girl came and started to grow up, and she was special, and everyone knew what was going on, and everyone said, oh, Leanne is fantastic. But Leanne started, she just wanted to make a difference in this girl's life. Fast forward a year or two, Leanne begins to have these feelings of wanting to adopt again. She still has more resources. She still has more love in her heart. She could adopt again. She begins to do this as she's going to a woman's Bible study that Sarah was a part of, and Sarah recalls how she was broken and asking for prayer and asking, God, am I wanting to adopt again because I love the attention I got? Or am I wanting to adopt because you're calling me to rescue another young girl? Now, we would look at Leanne and go, you're adopting a child out of poverty and giving them a chance in America. What could possibly be selfish about that? And yet, in the midst of it, she's making sure that her motives were pure because she wanted God to bless her decision. How many times do we ask that question about our motives? How many times do we really ask God to search us? We need to make sure we're doing it for the right why before we set out to do the what. Psalm 139 is a good place to read, and it's a good prayer to offer up to God. The last two verses say this: search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any grievous or offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The Message puts it a little bit differently. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. How many of you are ready on this first Sunday of 2018 to pray that prayer? Cross-examine and test me. Again, how many of you are ready for that prayer, right? Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Are you brave enough to ask that of God this morning? As you begin to write your story for 2018, are you brave enough to ask God, search my heart and see inside where I am selfish and reveal that to me? Happy endings begin with pure motives. And if you want your book to end on a high note, it begins with asking why. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you do what you do at home all day long as if you were keeping Christ, as if you were the only source of teaching your children about Jesus Christ. If you go into the workplace, you have to go into it understanding that everything you do, the way you interact with superiors, the way you interact with those under you, the way you interact with customers, is a picture of Jesus Christ. Do everything that you do in the name of Him, mimicking Him, reflecting Him, showing Him. That is how we get our motives to be pure. When everything that we do is about Him first and us second. We need to be faithful with what is before us today. It's the beginning of the year, and I want to set goals. And I want God so bad to say, here's your goal for 2018. Here's what I am going to achieve in you and around you and through you and for you in this year. Here's the finish line. I want to see that. And if I can't see the finish line, at least give me step 3, 4, 5. That's what I want. But are we or are we not people of faith? And faith says, God, show me my next step. Not the finish line, not the midpoint. Show me the next step. And our next step is this. Focus on who we are becoming in Christ before we worry about what we're doing. Focus on why we're going to do these things, our motives, before we focus on what we're going to accomplish. And in all things, we put Christ before everything else. And He will reveal to us step by step where we're supposed to go. And page by page, our story will be written in the proper order, building to the climax and the conclusion of our happy ending. So how will yours end? What does God want you to do? What is His will for you? These questions are still going to haunt us. We're still going to be there if we can't get our mind wrapped around the way God approaches this. These questions are going to be something that are unobtainable for us. And to add to that, we have this countercultural guy that kind of comes in and messes with the way we think sometimes. His name is Jesus Christ. In the midst of how will your story end? What does God want us to do? How do we find His will? Jesus says, hey, remember, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How does this go together? I'm searching for something that's cosmic, your will for my life, and you say it's easy? How are we going to get to this point? What does this mean? How do we work this out? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we stop thinking the way the world has taught us to think about how we're supposed to go forward, we'll see things the way God wants us to see them. If we focus on His steps and we focus on who we're becoming, if we are becoming the right who, God will find the right do. He will put us in the right place and accomplish the thing that our gifts and talents are best suited to accomplish. He will give us our little missions all throughout the days and weeks and months. He will give us the adventures that we're going to write our book about. If you are becoming the right who, God will help you find the right do. If you're driven by the right why, He will lead you to the right what. What am I supposed to do for you, God? Oh, first search for what the need is and why you would want to meet that need. When you focus on the why, He will lead you to the right what. You'll find your job. You will find that mission. You will find that place within the church, within the community where you can serve God and serve His people. That place where you're going to make a difference. We like to get ahead of the game. Show me what to do. Give me the task. God says, you're not ready for the do. You're not ready for the what. Let's focus on getting your heart right, on who you're becoming in me and why you want to serve. The decisions you make today determine the stories you tell tomorrow. The decisions you make today determine the story you'll tell tomorrow. I don't want to tell the same stories in 2018 that I told in 2017. I don't want to flip through the book of 2018 in my life and see the same sin and the same fear and the same misdirection that it was there in 2017. I want to write a new book. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with the life I lived in 2017 because there were days in which it wasn't great. I want to tell a new story, so I'm going to begin today to make decisions that are going to make that story populate itself. And I'm going to pray, God, search my heart and show me where I am selfish. And for me, it happens today when I go to Mississippi and I greet these warriors, these veterans that I'm there. I've set this hunt up to thank them. And it's already begun to hit me. Scott, are you doing this to thank them? Or are you doing this because you want to be known as the pastor who goes on wounded warrior hunts? Or are you doing this so you can convince your wife to give you a week off to go duck hunting? Kind of goes both ways, right? But as I was doing this week, that hit me. And I had to soul search and I had to ask God to reveal, God, what are my true motives? Has any of that selfishness crept into this? Or am I still doing it because I want those men to have the best time of their life? And God gave me a simple answer. He said, if it's about them, leave your gun in the truck. Time out. What if the ducks are coming, you know? I want to shoot ducks. I'm a hungry man. It's about them. Leave your gun in the truck. I'm not going to do that. Because the truck is parked at the edge of the field and it's too much temptation. I'm going to leave my gun at the lodge. Because I want to be pure in my motives. The decisions you make today determine the stories you tell tomorrow. If we're becoming who God wants us to become and our motives are pure, it's going to be a beautiful story. So let's write the right stories in 2018. Here's the thing we got to remember. The pages that are already passed, we're already on page 7. Probably haven't written too much on that page yet, but these first 6 days and all of last year, those pages are already written. They're already full. We can't change that, right? We can change what comes on the next pages that are still blank. Maybe you've spent time chasing the what this past year. Maybe you've been chasing the do. What, God, what do you want me to do? And the whole time He's been getting your attention, trying to get your attention, saying, I don't care what you do. I just want you to be more like me while you do it. Maybe it's time for us to change and repent and say, 2018, I'm worried about the who first. Maybe you're looking back on 2017 and you realize all of my whys point back to me. I'm doing these things so that people will see how awesome I am. The great thing about God is this. He always gives us an opportunity to repent. And when we surrender to Him, just like we sang about today, redemption follows. So no matter what these first 6 pages or all the other books of your life so far have been written like, you have a chance today to give it all back to Christ and start writing a new story. A story of healing and power and hope. A story of Jesus Christ walking through life with you and your family. Let's write the right stories in 2018. And let's start writing today. Amen.